And welcome to Dean's Corner. Unfortunately, I can't control the weather because it doesn't make me very happy. I'm sure it doesn't make anyone else in here very happy, but pretty soon it'll just turn to rain and then we'll be done. I took the snow tires off my car this morning. It had better work, but thank goodness I had them on to get them there. I don't have a lot to add right now. There was quite a substantive report from managers this week, and we have many, many things that we need to engage in here, and so I don't want to take too much time. Obviously, we're finishing up with the budget. We think we're in pretty good shape. The dollar's improving slightly, and every time it does, that improves the outlook for the collection development budget. We will soon be announcing merit raises for both the academic staff, the librarians, and the M's, and that's all good news. We do have a little bit more money in the system from the university. I don't know how that will affect us per se, but there's more money generally, which is a good thing. One of the things that involves us the most that we really care about is the university's master plan for buildings and the fact that the university as a whole is coalescing around building priorities. They are pretty much what we think they'll be, a lab building, which the university hopes to be supported through some federal money, which will go through the province for us and then be allocated, which is a very good thing. We've had renovations to Wilson Hall on the books for several years, and we hope to have a resolution on that. Obviously, the library project, and we also have McDonald Stewart in there somewhere. We got special money to do something with that building, and the Royal Vic. So all of this is being put together into a comprehensive plan that I think has hope for being a comprehensive plan more now than I've ever felt, and that's all really good news. So now, I think in some ways, it's just a matter of time. That time could be 2 years. That time could be 10 years for all of this, but who knows? In the meantime, we're coping. As usual, we may not have a whole lot of everything except students who are in our buildings, and that's a really good thing. We have been able to do some exciting and innovative things this year, from finishing off all the Voltaire cataloging to opening the Research Commons. So we'll hear a little bit about those things. We're also, our strategic planning seems to be coming kind of embedded in our culture. We finished off the last strategic plan. We're getting together this strategic plan. We do have a way of monitoring it, and I think that's a good thing. The other thing that we seem to be doing better, and I find gratifying, is that our work groups for different things from onboarding, orientation, communication, some of these other issues that you'll hear reports from today, committees are working together. They come to Dean's Cabinet, brush up things a little bit there if needed. Most of the time, there's not much. Go to manager's meeting, and then we bring them out here in Dean's Corner, so hopefully everybody knows about them. A lot of our committees and work groups like this are populated by volunteers, and we're trying to, I really hope there are very, very many people who are engaged in these things, and it's on all of our behalf, and I'm very appreciative of that, and I hope that other people can be enticed to engage in these things as well. So we're going to hear a lot about all this stuff today, and so that I don't get in the way of a big agenda, I'm going to end it here. Okay, so Diane has several things, and I'm not supposed to play with the microphone.
Except take it off.
Yeah, because apparently I fiddle with it, and it makes a lot of noise.
Oh, okay. I very silently.
Okay. Yeah, don't mess with it.
Great. Great. Let me see if I can hang this somewhere. Good. Good. Great. Well, we do have a very full agenda, so I will launch right in and update you on the status of our prior strategic planning process. Just to remind you of the steps taken to get to this point, everything was built from the ground up, from your input during those two, I guess I would call it focus group days, I think it was back in January, where we gathered input from all of you using normative group technique. If you remember, every idea was documented. We took those documented and dotted, and we took those and tracked the dots, distilled the ideas, because some were very similar or more or less the same thing, distilled it down, and then we categorized the ideas. They coalesced into four areas: climate and staffing, facilities improvements, no surprise there, collection catalog and system improvements, and then service improvements in general. What can we do to be innovative? What can we do to meet the needs of our users now? And where do we need to be going with our ideas? With this information, the Dean's Cabinet went on a two-day retreat, really drilled down into what you were telling us, and incorporated the ideas into two draft documents, which we've been finessing and improving for the last few months. We've been meeting regularly and discussing and trying to come up with a succinct top six, and we're calling them strategic priorities. Those are the top six that we're putting on our library planning page, outward facing for the public, for all the world to see and to understand where we're going. The other document is a lengthier document which contains 61 action items. We feel those items we should be able to work through over the upcoming year. The top six priorities are sort of longer term that's the fundamental difference between the two. So, the top six, and these are our priorities. I didn't want to use the term low-hanging fruit for the other 61. The feedback was that it isn't just low-hanging fruit. They're all important initiatives, so we're calling those strategic intentions. Great. So, this is the key area of focus for us for the years to come. And underlying all of our priorities, but especially, well, all of them, our top six, is the understanding that everything we do is user-centered. So we don't have a separate priority saying we're user-centered, because that has to be the underlying strategy of all our priorities. So we've got our top six up on the website. It's available now. I'm sorry for the small type, but after this meeting, go back, have a look. And you can see the top six are staff for the 21st century, encourage ingenuity and innovation, strengthen the organizational culture. This came through very loud and clear, and we have built that as one of our top six. Not surprisingly, implement Fiat Lux, and that's a project for years to come. Investigate the shared library services platform. This is the BCI initiative. Investigate, if it's right for us, we will move forward with that. And then finally, reimagine our current and future storage plans. While we have storage as a very important component of Fiat Lux, we have a short-term and medium-term issue for storage, so that is a priority for all of us. So you can access our strategic top six right from our planning page, and each of the priorities have a selection of action items with an executive owner and the progress lights to say how we're tracking. So if we take a look at staff for the 21st century, for our librarians, and this has been sort of front and center for the last few years, one of the action items we want to implement is to replicate the ARL Liaison Librarian Institute here so that we can hear from all of you about where the liaison model and librarianship should be going. So that's a concrete action item we're going to be moving forward with. And you can see our light is red at the moment, but we should be turning it into an orange light very soon. So red hasn't started or it's on hold. Orange, it's underway. And we'll work towards having green lights on all of our action items with each of our top six priorities. So encouraging ingenuity and innovation. I won't read through all of these, but it's available now. For example, participate in the Canadian Linked Data Initiative. It's underway already. We're firmly committing to participating in that innovative initiative Canada-wide, and so on. Investigate open educational resources. Strengthen the organizational culture, I know, is a key priority for all of us. And as you can see from our action items, create a formal library internal communication strategy. Formalize it. Support the citizenship program that's been brought forward to us. Continuing support for and assess the mentoring program and support the job shadowing initiatives. These are the actions now. It's an organic, living document. We will be updating actions as they become apparent and we can put them in and move forward with them. So remember, it's not just a plan that we wrote, put in a drawer and look back in 2 years and say, how did we do? It's a live document, and we're very much committed to keeping it front and center and tracked. Fiat Lux, you know all about, and BCI, we've been keeping you informed on, but you can see the executive owner is Carol Urban for Academic Affairs, who will be coordinating all of us and ensuring that project is tracked properly. And then I mentioned the future plans. So those are our top six key priorities. The strategic intentions I mentioned fell into four categories, which you can see there. And these are the initiatives that we feel we can accomplish in the upcoming year. The four categories I mentioned, climate and staffing, there are 10 action items, facilities improvements, 11, collection, cataloging, and service, 13, and service improvements, 27. So no surprise in that kind of outcome. And then for transparency purposes, because you did come up with lots of really interesting ideas, some we've done already, some we're almost done with, and some we just can't do. So I created a category called done, almost done, and can't be done, or something like that. But it's there for you to look at. And we do want to keep people informed of our project. This is how the document looks, and it is on our intranet, the library intranet. It's there now. It will be updated. It's a living document as well. And just go on to the library intranet and search for strategic planning, and you'll drop right in. And it will link you back to the library website for our top six priorities. There they are on the library planning page, on the library intranet, and I do really want to thank some incredible people who helped get this document, these documents up and running, and that's Rebecca, Lauren, and Michael, and just want to acknowledge you for some wonderful work. I have a moment for some questions on this before we move on. Have a good read. You can reach out to any of us on Dean's Cabinet. I'm happy to answer any questions and give us your feedback. And you can even put comments in the internet as well. Good. From the facilities, let's see. The SSMU Library Improvement Fund has to go through a final stage of approval. So until that happens, I will wait to inform you on what the students are supporting us this coming year, supporting us on. But that should be happening very shortly. We did secure funding from the Arts Undergraduate Society, and they are providing funding for the McLennan elevator lobbies. So for those of you, that know McLennan, it's not the main lobby, it's the elevators in McLennan. And from previous years, the feedback was no fabrics on seats. And since that was a strategic intention, we have followed that advice. So the equipment we're buying from Space Saver will be the leather, fake leather, easily cleaned furniture. So we listened and we're implementing your recommendations. The nice thing about it is the students are really committed to the food and noise zoning policy, and they are doing these elevator lobbies to ensure that it's a nice place for students to come out, have conversations, eat, and keep the noise away from the study spaces. And Colleen mentioned the Fiat Lux project. That's just always front and center, and the business plan has been developed, and it's working its way through the master planning process. Finally, LibQual. We're just about to finish the survey. This is the LibQual Light survey that has been running for about 5 weeks. It closes Friday at 3. And the response rate's been really terrific this year. 1,700 surveys were viewed. We have 864 valid surveys and a really substantial number of comments, 332 as of now. And once we close, these numbers will change slightly, but not very much. They're pretty much complete. I just wanted to let you know that the response rate from people who identify themselves as using Hustle as their primary branch, 58% of the comments or surveys came from Hustle users, primary Hustle users, 19% from Schulich, and then it trickles down accordingly, as you can imagine. More females responded than males, 61% female to 39% male. What we're doing, and I do want to thank Berenica for the work she's about to embark upon. thank you, Berenica. All the comments are going to be analyzed, coded, and made available to all of you on our intranet, along with the standard LibQual reports that we're familiar with. But I think you'll find that combination of both the standard reports and the analysis incredibly helpful. And if you remember our strategic intentions, which I'm sure you read very carefully while it was on the screen. Strategic intention 1.7 is analyze LibQual comments for 2016. So we are. And I think more importantly, we need to develop a strategy for ensuring that we can analyze them but act upon them. So that will be part of our strategic goal. And questions on this? We'll keep you informed and do follow the intranet page for both the strategic information and LibQual. And I think it's Sarah. Great. There we go. Put it on this side.
I got it, I think. There we go. Okay. So thank you to all of you who came to the launch event that we had last Wednesday. It was really great and lots of fun. For those of you that didn't come, I'm just going to go through what we did. So we had three presentations that were meant to and did highlight the use of the video wall that's in room A. So we had a couple different researchers. The first group was from geography, and they were talking about their research that they're doing in Brazil. They're building a dam on this river, and it's going to completely disrupt this ecosystem. So they did a lot of split screen with video on one side and really neat visualizations of the land and showing how it could possibly look if the government goes ahead with the plan for the dam. So that was really great. The second presentation was from a graduate student from the McGill Space Institute, and she talked about gravitational waves, using the full wall and showing these really awesome videos and visualizations of black holes. So it was really quite stunning across the full wall. The third presentation was from our own Sarah Severson, and she showed some of our digitized versions of rare materials. And it was really fun because she invited people to get up really close, and everybody was really excited, running up to the screen and peeking at the, seeing it, all the details. So it was really three kind of different ways that the screen can be used, and it was really engaging for the audience. And I'm hoping that people will think of other ways to use it, but I think it gave everyone a taste of what it can do and how it's different from the usual setup. Mike Gronendijk also gave two demos of our 3D printers, which are now out in room B, which is just outside the Reading Center. You can see one example of little owls being printed there, and those were also very popular, not surprising. That service has started up, so we've got a couple people. He's given some training sessions. We've got some people printing, so we're learning as we go various things about what happened to 3D printers when you leave them out. People have been respectful so far, but. And then the last thing we did was we let people use the virtual reality headset, the Oculus Rift, and this is not what the person is seeing with the glasses on, but we got to see what they were seeing. And that was really fun. Some people in the room, I can see some people that tried it. So if you've got questions, I'll let you know how it was. But like I said, it was a lot of fun. And going forward, it's fully open for use. So if you get questions, feel free to forward them to me. But please spread the word. We're hoping that it's going to get a lot of use. I've already gotten a lot of inquiries from people who have heard about it and either were there or were told by somebody about it. So I'm also hoping to develop some programs internally with presenters and various people from the library. So look forward to that. And if anybody has any ideas, please let me know. Yes?
Could we hold this meeting in that room with that screen?
Sure. I don't see why not. It was just asked the gentleman behind the camera how that would
be.
But
that would be interesting.
But I don't see why not. I mean, certainly there's enough space for everybody that's here right now. So we could try that out. Sure.
Yep. Especially right now, I think every seat is occupied by a student studying. There's definitely, I go there in the morning, and every morning I find lots of interesting little things. There was a six-pack of Red Bull in there this morning, so I know people are really. But definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Just to showcase it.
Sure, of course. Well, I mean, I think, personally, when we start talking more about Fiat Lux, those pictures would look lovely on that screen. So, think about what we could do with, 3D printing parts of the new library. Any other questions? Okay. Who am I passing this along to?
Okay. There you go, sir.
Perfect. You might be thinking, for some of you, that this is deja vu. I heard him do this last Thursday. But, good. Thank you. So, but not everyone heard it last Thursday, and so we thought we would like to share, as I told everyone last week, the secrets of the search committee. So everyone has a chance to see behind the screen and see what we do and how that works. And this, they're similar for when we hire other positions, too. We do follow similar steps, but there are some things that are special to the librarians, too. So this is our opportunity to do that, to go through this. And last time, there was lots of great interaction and questions, so please feel free to ask me any questions as we go along, and I'll be happy to entertain them. So the search committee's job is to make sure that we recommend the best candidate for the academic positions based on the interview process and the input from the stakeholders. So our job is to recommend to the dean and the university who is the best person for the job. So who gets on the committee? The composition of the committee is made up of representatives of the library and the archives and members of the community who provide relative expertise and insight. And so it includes one administrator or librarian, one librarian solicited by the Office of the Dean of Libraries, one appointed by the Dean of Libraries, one representative of the non-academic staff, one ad hoc manager or supervisor of the hiring unit, senior human resources advisor, director of academic affairs, and other individuals that we want to have on the search committee. So, any questions so far? So who's on the committee now? So this is the group that's on there now. And we have 2-year terms. And we try to stagger those so that not everyone falls off the committee at the same time. Some people get to be on it for a really long time, though, like Isabel. But, you know, others of us, it isn't a lifetime sentence. We do get to go off of it after a while. And so we try to provide a forum for all members to be comfortable, to freely voice their perspective, and it's a recommendation as advisory. So it's not the committee's responsibility to select the final candidate, but we offer our advice to the dean and the university. So how does this start? Well, we review the candidates individually against the criteria that we posted. So it all starts with the posting. So you have to have a good posting. You have to make sure that we know what's there, and we have to keep it up to date. And the committee then reads all the CVs and cover letters. Sometimes we have more than 100 to read. And so it's a lot of work to go through all of those. So once, too, it all starts with the posting. We have to make sure that the posting is tracked where we put it, who, because all of this goes into a report that Isabel has to keep track of all of these things. We put together... this is all the stuff Isabel does. she didn't get to see it last week, but this is all Isabel. She has to make sure that it gets posted, and she'll tell me if any of it's wrong. But we have to make sure she has to get them all organized, and you know everything has to be put in there. So it's a lot of work. So what we do then is for the committee, once it's all organized and it's on the U drive in the special place, we get to go through all the applications. And so we need some way to do that. So we have a grid for the applications. And everything on here is tied to what was in the posting, because that's what we said we wanted, so it has to be tied back to it. The one thing up at the top is, did they submit the documents right? Because sometimes they don't, and sometimes that can make a difference if we're missing something. But, you know, if we asked for a particular degree or qualification, if we ask for them to have supervisory experience, if we said that they need to be a good communicator, well, then we look at their cover letter, we read it and see, do they have that in there? Or is their CV include this information? So there's different places for that. And we get to do however many candidates it is. And we might add comments down at the bottom to help you remember who each person was. If you're looking at 60 different applicants, it can be hard sometimes to remember who they all are. So I know that I kind of write little notes so I can help remember. And then at the end, you want to try and make a recommendation as you're reading them about whether you think this person should be interviewed. So it's a yes or no or maybe. Then the committee will get together and we'll compare our notes and we'll go through them together. One thing that's new for us as the committee, though we've always have tried to do this, but it's official at the university that we are trying to respect diversity and equity. And one of the things that happens now for people that apply for a job at McGill is they receive a letter like this. It comes from the Academic Personnel Office. And then they have an opportunity to fill a survey. It's optional. But then they can identify themselves in various equity and diversity groups. That helps us to know, because we do try on our, as we narrow down the pool, we want to get to a short list. And so we're trying to come up with the list of people that we actually want to bring in for the full interview. So sometimes we get more people on that short list than we can possibly interview. We can't bring all of you together to listen to 20 job talks for something. We have to get it down to something manageable to three, hopefully. And so sometimes we might do a pre-interview over the phone or Skype or something like that. But our goal is to try and get the list of candidates down. On our short list, we do try to have representation that represents the equity and diversity. And everyone on the committee went through some training for that. And we do have to work with the Academic Personnel Office on that. Any questions about that part? Because that part is new. Okay. So the other things that we get to do is work on, you know, how are we going to select the right candidate? We try to come to some agreement there. How do we know who we want to interview? What the interview questions will be? Because each time they might need to be changed a bit from what we did before, and almost always there's something that changes. And sometimes for these types of jobs or other jobs, we might have a test or something that we want to take or have the person take to help us figure that out. And then we always get to figure out the job talk topic. That's always fun. Oh, that one. So this is an example of some of our interview questions. One thing that we do is we also try to provide some metrics along with the interview. So it's not just your feelings, but we try to rank them. So there's a place for a rating from 1 to 5. So when the person, we'll ask the question, why are you pursuing a specialization in liaison librarian? As they answer it, after, you try not to do it all in front of them because you don't want to make them too nervous. 0, 0. Try to be discreet and professional about the whole thing. But when it's done, you do want to add them up. So rank them and put something there so that we have something to go back to later and look at. And as you interview each candidate, sometimes you forget what the first one was like and how they were. So it's good to have something written down to help you as we go back as a committee. All of these things go into the file at the end. Isabel keeps them all because it's all part of a legal process that we're doing too when we hire someone. It is an official legal process at the university. This is one of our recent job topics. It seems really familiar, I'm sure, to at least one person in the room. It's always fun to try and figure out what to do. The committee's always talking about these. I know you guys sometimes get tired if we do the same thing too many times, but it really depends on the job and the hiring manager and what we need and what it should be. So the other thing we get to do is figure out the schedule. And that's also one of the fun things that Isabel gets to do, because usually it's a half day. For some positions, it might be a full day. And you have to coordinate everyone's schedule, from the dean to the committee to this room to all of those different things. During the day, we always try to make sure that different things happen. There's always an interview with the search committee. There's always a meeting with the dean. There's usually a meeting with Carol to talk about academic affairs. There's a meeting with the branch or department that's doing the part of the process of the interview. Some departments make that a very informal process. You just walk around and look at the library and talk to a few people. Other people have a very formal process, and they actually do a mini interview and they submit their documentation. It can be whatever makes sense for your branch. They do, of course, the job talk, and then there's usually some sort of more informal time with them so that we can actually have a conversation with a few people about different things, so a sankasset or a lunch or breakfast or whatever makes sense for the time we're doing it. So when you're on the search committee, you get to not only do the interview, but you need to go to the job talk. Sometimes we see a different side of the candidate at their interview than what we see at the job talk, and it's always interesting to see those comparisons and see how that they fit together. And sometimes for the job talks, we'll want to invite key faculty members or key students, if, depending on what the job is and what we're doing. So we do have to think about those things, too, how we're going to do that. And we also want to pay attention to your feedback. When you come to those job talks, so it's really great to get your feedback. And that helps us as a committee see what all of you thought about them during that part of the process. So this is an example. I've taken some real examples, but I've mixed it up and made it hard for you to understand which ones it might have been. So, but we try to rank, you guys rank them, whether they were poor, fair, good, very good, or excellent. And we want to know that just so we can gauge how they did during that part of the process. That all feeds into the final decision, too, which you guys write there. So it's really important to have your feedback, and it's great that so many people come and participate on those job talks. One of the things, too, we have to do is follow up with reference checks. After we have the interviews, we need to do this step, too, which is to get an outside opinion of someone that worked with the person before and try and give us some idea of how that works. And again, it's a formal process. We have a set of questions that we'll ask. You know, sometimes they can change, but we ask all the referees the same questions. And we give both spots where they can give us various feedback, or they can rank the person in various different areas. So we have some metrics there, too. And again, I've kind of made this up. So then when we're done, what we need to do is figure out how do we rank the candidates, who do we recommend, how do we recommend them. Sometimes there's one choice, and that's easy to say, there's one choice. Sometimes there's two choices. Sometimes all three were really good. And so it really depends on the candidates and the position and what we're looking for. So in the end, we try to sort that out, and we try and balance it with all the stakeholders. And then after that, the next thing I get to do is write a letter to the dean saying, one of these people is really great, two of these people are really great, all of them are really great, and pass that on about some information about why. It all is part of the dossier, though. It all comes together. So that includes their CV, their cover letter, their application, all the information that we've collected, all the information from the hiring unit, and reference checks. All of that stuff goes into the package. Because then in the end, this was a secret to almost all of us except Isabel, but she shared it with us, so I get to share it with you. She has this whole checklist of everything that she has to keep track of, because in the end, upon recommendation of the dean, it still needs to go to the academic personnel office, and they need to review everything. So they need all the files and all the papers and need to see what we looked at and all of that. So again, it's a official legal process. We need to make sure we follow all of these steps carefully, and the university does too. So since it is an official legal process, everyone on the search committee needs to respect the confidentiality of the process and everything that's going on there. That's part of what we need to go through. And we make sure that we go to training. So last year there was a couple training opportunities that we attended, and as they happen, we continue to do them. You guys are much quieter this week. I must have answered all the questions last week, but I'm sure there's some new people that have questions. Is there anything that you want answered about the search committee or how searches happen? Yeah, Lauren.
So you're in charge of librarians and staff?
It's the librarians.
Okay.
Yeah. The academic staff, I should say. They're... This is a brief, there's another version of this that happens for the rest of the staff.
We have a light version of that process for and for candidates. It's not as public as a process. There's some job process, it's a little bit more private, a little bit less step also, but the basic is the same where I need to get requests for posting, go through the posting approval. We have the grid, we do them in the committee, it's a little bit small. much smaller. It involves usually the hiring manager, the immediate supervisor, maybe one or two other people. But then the same thing once
there's reference checks.
Reference check, and there's the rubric, and when we have identified the candidate, we still have to go through a certain process with central HR to make sure that we respect the collective agreements, policy, and things of that sort. And only then, when I get the final okay from HR, big HR, then you know you present the offer with the candidate.
So each of these searches, whether it's academic staff or other staff, can take 2, 3, 4 days just for the interview parts, let alone all the pieces that go into it before and all the reading of the CVs and reference checks later and all the paperwork. So,
I do have a question.
Sure.
How long does the entire process usually take?
That's a good question. It depends on what you mean by the entire process. If you mean from when we need to have identified that we're going to post the job to the time...
Before.
Yeah, it starts before.
We post the job. What flavor of the job are we?
You'll have to go there because people are sending candidates.
I guess the length will depend... will depend on the steps, and it starts with there's a vacancy, and the first question that we ask ourselves is, you know, do we need the position? Do we need the position in this type, you know, that type of position? If it's not that type of position, depending on if it's an academic, an M, or a MUNACA, yes?
Who is we when you're speaking?
It's going to be, well, hiring manager, associate dean, the dean, you know, it's senior administration with representative of the unit where the vacancy is happening. So then depending on the type of position and what we'll do, there's question of rematching, creating new position, seeking approval, making sure that the budget in there, proving to the senior administration, and when I mean senior, it's the admin building, the budget office, that we do have the money to pay for the salary. Just that can take weeks just to get a position number that I can then post, and then I have legal requirements, you know, MUNACA, 8 working days, M, it's a different set of days, academic, it's a minimum of 30 days, I need to post here, not there, twice there, not pay. So.
And then we finally get them in a room.
Yeah, so academic, fast, easy. From beginning, the vacancy to the time we have someone on board, an easy file, 3 months all together. That's the easy file. So.
Does that answer?
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Then you're next. Thank you.
So now we'll talk about the output of the search process, right, which is the HR update. Well, we have an output with us today. Actually, we have two. In the month of March, Dan Romano and his team and the rest of Digital Initiative welcome Gagandeep Dhillon as the new programmer. Gagandeep came to us from the private sector. Very dynamic, fast-paced private sector. I'm sure that some of you have recognized a familiar face this week on campus. Anaïs Salomon came back on Monday. It's nice to see you. And also today with us, we're lucky, we have our intern from INSIB, Romain Forêt. He's one of our many interns and stagiaires that we welcome every year in the libraries, either from INSIB or from the School of Information Studies. Well, we're talking about recruitment process. Now you know why sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but currently what we have
work that we are working on is a documentation technician for ILL. They are conducting the interviews this week. The senior library clerk in Osler, we are close of having a final offer accepted. And then assistant to the dean, we're conducting the first round of interviews this week. We have a few more candidates to meet before, I guess, tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. Associate Dean User Services, we're still accepting applicants. The posting is open until April 15. And then when all that is done, we'll tackle the HR advisor. We have 100 or so applicants to fill out, so you can imagine how long the grid will be. Next, I guess. With welcome, like I mentioned the last time, comes farewells. And on June 1st, 8 of our colleagues and friends will be retired and enjoy this very long and well-deserved freedom. Bruna just got a mug this morning saying, "I'm retired, do it yourself." So she might walk with her cup or mug for a few weeks. So we'll say goodbye to Bruna and John Cunningham, that is with us in the back. Maria De Souza, I don't think she's here. Elizabeth Dunkley from ILL. Frank Kunzumko from Digital Initiative. Angela Lambrou from Schulich. And Angela will be awarded on May 28 the honorific librarian emerita status. So congratulations to Angela. We will also say goodbye to Judith Lindsay from Collection Services and Michelle Morin, also from Collection Services. Michelle, Joseph mentioned it this week in the manager's meeting, is not only the longest serving MUNACA member in the library, but he is also among the 3,700 plus-ish MUNACA members on campus, closely followed by Alan Euster. So, and I want to give a 50 years pin. So, Gagandeep, you have to stay. I hope you like it here. Joseph said it. It's a life sentence. We said goodbye to Heather a few weeks ago. Heather had moved to Collection Services maybe a month and a half ago, but she decided to pursue a career somewhere else. So, Heather, we wish you all the best and good luck in this new adventure of yours. So, that's it for the HR update. Svetlana. Oh, question? No question. Still on the HR topic.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Today we'll be talking about job shadowing working group reports. So we developed a program. When I am saying us, it's me, Lori Podolsky, who is here, Heather Kai, and Anna Dysett. So what is job shadowing program? It's an opportunity for all McGill Library staff to gain an insight and knowledge about the work of their colleagues. It's not just for librarians, it's for everybody. Why we engage in this program? Our primary goal is to foster better and stronger connections within the library, within our big library family, on the individual and departmental level. Who can participate? As I said, full-time library staff, librarians, who are on contract, tenure track, or on tenure appointment. Okay. So how does it work? It can be individual, it can be on the level of the department. We have host, we have a visitor. So visitors, they are obviously individual. Host, it can be a unit. Let's say law library decides to host an open house, and that will be part of our program. Or I will become a host, and somebody who would like to know how to be a law librarian at McGill will be my visitor. So how long does it take? 2 hours, half of a day. how can you participate? You go to the internet, you go to the job shadowing page, you fill the form, you have it signed by your supervisor. You scan the form and you send the form to Isabel or to our maybe HR advisor who will materialize at some point. And then wait to be matched. It's really easy and simple. So any questions, please? And I had one question before this presentation, how it is different from the mentorship program. It is really different because, first of all, it's one time shot. It's like 2 hours. You go, you meet somebody. It's almost like a speed dating, you know. In a unit, you go to a law library, you speed date everybody in the library, you know. You know what these people up the hill are doing now. So while mentorship, if you read the description, is from 3 to 6 months, so there is a big difference between these two programs. So that was the question that I got before. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, cool. Okay, so this is organizational citizenship draft charter. We have a working group consisting of Rebecca Nicholson, myself, Nazi Tarobi, and
Jim.
Okay, and just to let you know a little bit about the organizational citizenship idea. The idea is about changing behaviors in the workplace to make the workplace a much more pleasant place to work in, to be much more conducive to having it's having good values in the workplace. But it's really something that's individual. It's from you. This is something that is not going to be. It's voluntary. So there's no job description that goes with this. It's your attitude in the workplace and how you deal with your fellow. Your fellow workers. And it's also about having a very positive attitude. And this is sort of the idea behind this. And it's not going to be part of any formal reward system, but ideally, and in literature as well, there's a certain amount of positive energy that comes from doing this and doing this effectively. And we're hoping to bring that to the fore in the course of our project. Of course, we've already had some meetings. We did GT session. We did focus groups afterwards to get feedback from people. I'd like to thank everyone who participated in that. There was 21 people in the original NGT sessions and
nine
people in the focus groups. And it's wonderful for all the feedback he gave us. He gave us some really great ideas. So maybe just go on to the next one. Okay. So we use nominal group technique, which is pretty well known now in the library. We're all familiar with it. We listed 7 dimensions from the literature and asked what specific organizational citizenship behaviors do we or should we value more highly in the library and archives. We went around the table. We asked people to give their ideas, to do write them down, to give their top. We went around the table. Everyone gave their ideas about this, and we asked people at the end to rank their ideas. We took the rankings, we did some summation of the rankings, and then we grouped them into 10 groupings, which we, because there's similarity, a lot of the ideas, we were able to do that. We grouped in 10 different groupings, and from that, we came up with this categorization. So some of these may not be very surprising. Collegiality, kindness, respect is the highest rank. Communication, 2nd, equality, recognition of positive behavior, positive attitude, openness, transparency, and finally, self-improvement and cross-training. We picked the first 7 and at a cutoff point there. If we went through the process of assigning, no, it's okay. Okay, we'll just keep going. No going back, okay. So I'm just going to give some of the slides of what is meant, how we defined this. So collegiality, kindness, respect, show generosity of action by proceeding in an open, friendly, and respectful manner, promote team spirit, collegiality, mutual policing, and proactive outreach to colleagues, be empathetic, compassionate, and non-judgmental. That was the, this is the most frequently cited idea amongst the groupings.
Can I just step in for a second?
Sure.
Can you guys hear me, or is it okay? So I just want to say, these are the ideas that we made into a sort of like draft charter that you probably saw we sent you by email, but the, all of the language underneath the category came out of the things that people wrote or said in the non-group technique sessions. And those are the ones that we brought into the focus group. So this language came from you guys. Didn't write it all ourselves.
No.
Sorry, I just wanted to step in.
Yeah. Thank you. Next one. Yeah. Okay. Communication, naturally, I think this is always an important issue. Communicate respectfully, openly, and transparently. Share information generously while respecting confidentiality and value other opinions. Equality, foster an environment where all work is seen as having equal value and encourage collaboration both vertically and horizontally throughout the library. Treat both external and internal clients as equals. Now, we had a certain amount of debate, clients, users, you know, this could go on forever. But what was meant by this, we got some clarification by people who first suggested this, but it came back later in our focus groups, was that is that you treat the external client you receive at your front, the front desk, asking a reference question, with the same amount of respect as you do your internal colleagues asking the material for favors or for information. Okay, so just to keep that at even keel. So the amount of service you give to external people should be the amount of same amount level of service you give to internal people. Okay, foster appreciation for positive behaviors and innovative ideas. Congratulate people for successes and acknowledge individual strengths and contributions regardless of hierarchy. Okay. Bring a positive attitude towards change and learn from failure. Go beyond what's expected, volunteer and suggest solutions. Nurture a sense of humor and patience. Because even though you may have an idea, doesn't mean it's going to be automatically accepted right at that point. So be patient and accept things with more of a sense of humor and be patient with people. Okay. Be willing to consider the ideas of colleagues in a consistent, transparent, and honest manner. Acknowledge and share knowledge. Acknowledge and share knowledge. Trust others. Okay, so these self-improvement. Develop skills and interests within and beyond the library and archives. Share, seek and share opportunities for self-improvement. By self-improvement, we don't mean taking additional training to be better in your job. We mean engaging in other activities that you will find fulfilling. It can be stamp collecting, can be arts and crafts, can be lots of different things. You do that in conjunction with your colleagues in the library, you're going to get a pretty good, I think, a positive feeling from that. And it's not something that necessarily translates into what you do in your job, but it's something that, that makes you more part of the library community. Okay.
Microphone.
Well, I think
we don't have any more slides.
I think you're supposed to. Sorry. Put the microphone. Yeah, I'm looking at
projecting voice. So this is where we are right now. It's the last couple weeks we held two focus groups on March 24th and 30th, and we asked these three questions because we got some really good ideas out of the brainstorming sessions, and people seem to agree on the types of behaviors that we want to see in the library, but how do we get our colleagues on board? I think we had a lot of discussions about how like this initiative only works if people like believe in it and accept it and get on board. So we held these two focus groups and we asked these three questions. We asked people if they have any feedback on the draft, and as you may have gleaned from Gordy, we got a lot of comments about like the specific language that we used, so we're going to go back and take a look, and some of the more hot button words we're going to remove or replace with other words. But people seemed really positive about the sort of general ideas and thrust that we had put in our draft document. But then we want to see what can, the other questions we ask are what could be done to encourage organizational citizenship behaviors in our organization? And do you have ideas for specific actions that we can take to encourage these types of behaviors in the library? And then the last question we asked was, what form could our staff citizenship charter take that may be different from just a document or statement of values? Because I know there's a little bit of people can get their back up sometimes where you're like, here's your values, or here's like just a document. We just wanted to see if there were, if people had other ideas of something that might engage people more, might encourage people to be a part of, you know, getting this charter adopted in our organization in order to improve our workplace climate. So that's where we are right now. We haven't actually, we've just held the focus groups and transcribed the notes. We haven't actually met to talk about them yet. So if you have feedback, you can still email or call or talk to any one of us, and we'd love to hear from you. And that's where we are right now. And Gordy and Naz met with the Dean's Cabinet earlier this week, so he'll talk about what's next.
Yeah, just hope like this. We're going to work on a plan to implement this throughout the library, and we're going to present it to the Dean's Cabinet. We're told fairly soon. Bitter finger. By the end of April, we're told. Or close to it. So we're working on that now. We're taking all the information you've already given us. Please, if you want to give us more feedback, or you've seen our, some of the drafts, you have ideas about that, send it in to us, because this, we're going to take all this into account when we're making our final report and looking for implementation plan. So I'm glad that if you're still going to do that, please do that. And thank you very much for input so far. It's been really a fun thing to do. Thank you.
Well, I have a whole bunch of people to thank. Thank you to all of the speakers. But this Dean's Corner. I don't even know. This Dean's Corner has really been about us. So many different manifestations of us, and I am really gratified at some of the things that are coming up, that are coming from the bottom of the organization and coming up and becoming owned by all of us. If anybody has done a survivor exercise, you know very well that what's going to happen is if you're on your own, you're going to die. And if you cooperate with other people, you're going to live. And there is no way that I sitting in the dean's office or that group of people sitting in the dean's office larger can come up with all the good ideas and particularly all the goodwill that everybody in this organization can put together. So it really takes a village to run a library, and I am particularly gratified to see some of these things coming from the bottom up. I've had 5 years of being the person in the front of the room talking most of the time, and I'm really glad that that's not true anymore. I actually like listening some and a lot. And I know very well that that my job in the end, I'm the person who's responsible, and that's my job, and I will take responsibility for it. For whatever happens and whatever any of you do, but I can't do it all, and this is a total manifestation of that. So I want to say thank you in a very sincere and profound way to everybody who has presented today, but some of these ideas have come from the bottom up. We will be seeing more of that. Sometimes we will goof up. Sometimes we won't get everything done at the times that we want to. There is nobody who is more frustrated about how long it takes us to replace people than me and Isabel. I can certainly tell you that. But I think that you have, from just seeing the process for what it takes to hire people, I hope that you have an understanding of just how many steps there are. And if we goof up in that anywhere, we could do something from it's illegal to we hire the wrong person or we just do the wrong thing. And so there is no more important thing that we do than whom we invite to be part of us. And that's hugely important. And we're a complex environment spread over many buildings with many specializations. We've got a lot of people who have been here for a very long time, whom we're congratulating and moving on to other wonderful things. So our organization is changing hugely. If you remember when I came here, I said the only thing I can promise you is change. That hasn't changed. And as a matter of fact, it's just changing more quickly. So I just have to say that I think that we really have come to a really a different milestone in our path as an organization. And it's because of all of you that I think that we're getting there. Our strategic planning process is far from perfect, but we are accomplishing things that we have tried as a community to come together as a group to decide what the most important things are and to put our money and effort there. And I think we're doing that. And I hope that we're communicating better. Communication is a two-way street of multiple. Everybody's got to listen and everybody's got to talk, and I hope that we can manage to do that even better, getting better and better at it. There's a whole lot of information on the internet. There was a big theme coming through here today. There are many, many things that you really need to keep up to date on by reading email, but there's a whole lot that we're putting on the internet. If you remember, the internet was one of the strategic issues from the previous plan, and by golly, we got it done, and I'm very grateful to the people who are doing it and keeping things up to date on it, because it's absolutely essential to what we do, so it's something you need to check out on a regular basis. And I just have to say again that I really do think that what we do is incredibly important. And I don't think that people work in a library. I haven't known too many people who work in libraries just because they need to work. We all need to work, obviously. We need to work because we need the resources to feed ourselves and our children and have a place to live. And we all need to work because we need to contribute to society. But in libraries, you do it in a special way. And I do think that we can feel good about what we do, because I think it is an important thing. And I want to congratulate those of us who are leaving with all of those years of service. I hope that you think of the rest of your life that, you know, I did contribute. I really contributed in ways that were important, and I made a difference because I know that you did. In any case, I think I've got to figure out how to do this last one here. And unfortunately, someone put snowflakes with my bird. But it's real for today. And I wish you all the best. Thank you.